what shall I put for you? What shall I say about you?
Okay, so... this is the biggest problem usually. So I'm an English teacher. I specialize in communication and speaking confidence. These days I teach online and I'm developing online courses at the moment. And I don't know, I think, yeah. So I have some experience with corporate teaching. I used to have my own school. I don't know if it's important at this stage, maybe. So yeah.
Which website are you promoting?
Stordar.com. Stordar.com.
Uh-huh. And we will find a lot of what.
Considering that you're preparing, so your podcast is for teachers, right?
And students, but really it's just for my pleasure.
So I would refer my website for the English learning blog, where I look at different aspects and prepare different materials for learning English. I think, yeah, so probably we should direct them to the blog at this stage.
So it's stordar.com?
Yes.
And that's it?
Yes, yes.
English learning blog.
English learning blog, yes. And you can just name me Daria because I know that my surname is a bit of trouble.
But can I try to say it? Storozilova?
It should be Zhi. Storozilova.
Storozilova.
Storozilova. Like Zhi.
Zhilova.
Mm-hmm.
Zhilova.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds good. No, even for the Polish people, it is a very difficult surname to pronounce.
Storozilova.
Okay.
Yeah. Zhilova.
Zhilova, yes, Storozilova.
Storozilova.
What? Yeah, now it sounds right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter?
As Stordar Learn. Stordar Learn. One word.
Okay. And my podcast is really about advice for new teachers. I've written 10 points, but we might not get through everything, and maybe take it in turns to give a point or just join in conversation about something. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see how it flows.
Okay. Yeah. So because I didn't get 10 because I get lost in the process, and there are actually a lot of things to say. I need you to direct me a little bit. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I will direct you. I've got 10 points I'm going to put on my website.
Okay.
I've got 10 sentences. Okay, great. So when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. The recording is going. Yeah. And I'm ready. Yeah.
Hi, welcome to Perland on ELT. And my name is Matt Perland, and I'm on ELT as usual. That's what I like to do. And today I've got a very special guest with me in my special studio, and it's Daria Storozilova.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Who's an English teacher who specializes in communication and student confidence. She teaches online and develops online courses, and you can find out more about her at her website is stordar.com, stordar.com, and it's an English learning blog, and I also know that Daria shares a lot of great resources on Twitter and in other places, and she's on Twitter at stordarlearn, which is one word. And today we're talking about new teachers, EFL teachers, or ESL, or ESOL, English, or any sort of English person teaching. Advice for new teachers. It's a long time since I was a new teacher, I have to say that. Nearly 20 years since I did my first teaching qualification. And it's, you know, it's a scary feeling to be a new teacher, but also exciting because everything is in front of you and you can think, wow, I can do anything, really. Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting. But I thought we could think of some advice for new English teachers, people who are new to the profession. What can we tell them from our experience? So if I ask Daria just to tell us a little bit about your experience, and we can go from there.
Okay, so hello everybody, and Matt, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. And it's a lot to discuss, and really, I remember my first year as a teacher. It was 15 years ago. I was scared. I was terrified. I have always worked with adults throughout my career. So I started with adults just after finishing the university, getting my bachelor's in English language. So I was scared because they were all older than me. Sometimes twice. I started to working with communication immediately, so I had a lot of business courses and they were all important people, you know, and I kept asking myself, what can I give to them? Am I worth their attention? Because they're all big people, they're directors, managers, they're successful in their lives, and now I have to persuade them I have something valuable to tell them. And this is very important that you live through this fear, and probably this is the first advice I would ever give to a teacher. I mean, even if you are scared, go on with it, because it will become easier. I mean, after a while, you will get the qualification, you will get the experience, and it will become more comfortable for you. So, yes, I worked in private schools, I think for 6 years, and at some stage of my career I became an academic director, and I organized the learning process, helped with the materials mostly. My job was to train new teachers who came to my schools, and after all this experience I had my own school in Moscow where we developed very focused products. I mean, it was really the short-term trainings for raising speaking confidence. And this was my thing. This was my method. This was my material. That's why I had to train the teachers from scratch. And it was like living this first year again with them because they were mostly very young and starting teachers. So I helped them develop, I helped them become professionals. And after that, so I still work with the companies and, yeah, 15 years of experience, different, very different experience, yeah.
Okay, thank you. I think my first point is going to be about materials. Mm-hmm. You mentioned materials, but don't just present the course book. Don't just take the course books, you know, the teacher's book, the student's book, the CDs, the whiteboard materials, all this wonderful package of, don't just take this and think that is that's your job. Mm-hmm. That's what you've got to do. You're not just a presenter. People who know me will know my books about this. Don't, you are the course book. Don't be a presenter, you know, you are the course book. You should learn what you're going to teach, mm-hmm, and then and teach it, not just present something that other people have prepared for you. And try lots of different resources. Try a wide range of materials, and some days no materials. Just speak to the students, talk to them, have your own ideas. use games that you know, maybe party games, and don't be sucked in by the course book business. That's my most important first tip. What about you? Materials.
Well, I will agree with you because, in fact, I haven't used a course book. I was trying to count while you were speaking. I think I stopped using course books somewhere in 2009 or 2010. Really. So when I have a course with a student, or when I have a group course, I will always prepare the materials myself, because I know what they need to achieve, and I'm trying to find the best things which will suit this particular situation, these particular students, these particular goals. And yes, I use some elements of the course books sometimes, but it's usually some random exercises, something like that. So not it's like, look at this page and now we are working with present perfect. It should never be like that, of course. Now, I mean, when you only start in your first years, you can't do without it. Of course, you need a course book to direct you, because you need to learn two main things, especially if you are not, if you are a native teacher. Yeah, because if you are, I am a non-native teacher, I learned English first, so I know the level system, for example, yes? And I remember what stages I went through when I was learning English. If you are a native teacher, it's just natural for you to speak, I mean, and you can't understand where the like what level the student is and what level the student should come, how it can be measured. So you need to learn the level structure. From this level structure will come your knowledge of potential students' problems, right? And you need to know how to achieve that, yeah? So how we usually go. I mean, we usually start with describing ourselves and so on and so on. But the main thing which you will learn in the process, it is how students... I mean, what students should know or shouldn't. Because, for example, if I have a student who is pre-intermediate, for example, yeah, my favorite level, I know what he will say, and I kind of more or less know what kind of mistakes he will be making in the process. Yes? Yeah? I think the same for you. But it only will come with experience. So, and in this case, yeah, in the first year, the course book shows you the structure, and you need to follow this structure because you don't have it in yourself yet. You don't have this experience. But course book always should be an instrument for this particular student, for this particular group, for this particular situation. So you need to adapt it in the process. It's very, very important.
Yeah, and I would say, to go on from there, that once we've trained to become a teacher, or an EFL teacher, or whatever, doing TESOL, or doing the CELTA, or CELTA, however you want to say it, that isn't it. You know, we've got to learn a lot of things. As Daria said, for a native speaker, it may be even harder than for a teacher from somewhere else, from Spain or Germany, who've had years of English learning English language, which we haven't done in our school system. When I started, I didn't have a clue about the tenses or any of the grammar. Even though I was considered very at a high level in my school in English, just in English lessons, but I didn't have a clue what's present perfect or any of the tenses or anything. So I had to learn it. Like I said, you have to learn it before you can teach it. And sometimes the course book does it for you, therefore you never learn it. Then you never learn it. So that's why it sort of robs you of experience. Yes, it's there as a sort of crutch, but don't let it do all the work for you. go and get further qualifications, go to training courses, go to conferences, go to weekends organized by, yes, by the course book publishers, of course.
Do a lot of reading, yes? I would add, sorry for interrupting you, but you will need to do a lot of reading. Really, I mean, there are two things which English teachers, any language teachers, will always struggle. If you are not a native, you need to make sure your English is good enough. And this is your, like, goal for the life. You will always try to reach that goal that your English is good enough to sound as an expert, yeah, to, to your students. If you are a native, you need to get this language awareness. When I was doing my CELTA, I remember how difficult it was for native trainees to understand what present simple, what is it?
Yeah.
I mean, until you get this feeling, you will be always scared of students' questions because they will always ask you something and you will just, this is because I say so, but they are not satisfied with that, right?
But even now, when my students ask me the spelling, I just say, well, what is a dictionary?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look it up. If you don't know, if I didn't know something in the past, I would always say, check it overnight, go home and check it online.
Yes,
you check it.
Yes,
you're the student, not me. And then I would as well, but I wouldn't break my mold, like, you know, that they didn't know, or sorry, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I might more easily relax and say, oh, I don't know something.
But I will check it for you, right? I mean,
but you check it. You're the student, not me.
No, it's a good strategy.
You know, get them to do it, and then, of course, they won't, and they forget about it, and they lose interest. Another important tip for people who are new EFL teachers or going to be new teachers, nobody became rich by doing this. You're not going to become rich by doing this job. What will be the benefits? First of all, you'll always have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Around the world, wherever you want to go, you'll have plenty of choice about where you work, and you'll have work. But you won't always be rich, but you'll probably have work, somewhere to live, provided by the school maybe. But we don't do this to earn money. We're not doing, yes, we earn money for our life, pay our bills and so on, but it's more like a job that you do to enjoy it. And if you're teaching EFL classes and you don't enjoy it, then I wonder what's the benefit for you, because you're not going to get all the money from doing it. You get more in the UK, for example, or in other certain countries of the world. But if you're not enjoying it minute by minute, hour by hour, then probably you're in the wrong job and you should retrain for something that's more lucrative. Because we really enjoy our lessons. We enjoy the communication, working with people, problem solving with people. We see the progress. And it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's not boring for me because I don't use the course book. And think about how you feel, you know, because if you're not enjoying it, then it's better to do a job you don't enjoy for a lot of money than to do one like this for little money, just a little bit of money. So that's, what do you think?
No, to tell the truth, I can't complain. No, I mean, yeah, if we are talking about getting rich, probably it's not that place to be. But in general, throughout the years, I have been able to make a decent living for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have always traveled a lot. I have always lived in the places where I wanted to live. And most of my time, I have made my own income through my own job. And I'm very proud of it. And I believe it is possible to make a decent living, really, through it. The second thing, of course, money is not the first thing. And I think what will matter more to me, it is the flexibility. Especially now when I teach online, I'm really flexible about how I organize my schedule. And yeah, probably if you are a new teacher, you don't have much choice. Yes, you will be given this morning classes, evening classes. But again, it is not forever. So once you are an expert, you will be, you will have choices, really. And I had years when I had good clients and I was very, very flexible with my schedule, for example.
And you'll have work even, you know, I think through the economic crisis, after crisis.
Of course, especially through the economic crisis.
I work continuously.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
Since I started this job. As an English teacher in Derby in the UK, and I haven't been unemployed, and that's really is valuable.
It only depends on you. It only depends on you. You want more work, you get more work. You want less work, yes. But it's really, yeah. I mean, talking about the enjoyment, I think that this is the point which matters the most, and this is one of the reasons why people leave the profession, because. Unfortunately, a lot of people leave the profession, and I often see the situation when people use this job because of the reasons you mentioned, for fast cash, or, for example, as an opportunity to travel, but they are not serious about the job. So if you want to commit to the job, if you really want to be a teacher and create a career out of it, you need to be ready to the fact that it is a difficult one. It is really a difficult one.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy, and it will never be easy. Even when you are experienced, even when you are well paid, you work with people, and it will be always hard. But what you achieve matters more. Every time when I receive an email from a student who is studying at the university, she would never have dreamt of studying. And she is there because we achieved it together and I helped her. I mean, I'm so proud because it is a real change you make in the world. That's why, yes, it will be always hard, but there is something to pay this price for sure.
And that's, I think as well, it's teaching English is really... about building relationships rather than just giving knowledge to people or just presenting a book which is already written. It's about you and the people. So if you are a people person, if you like to work with people. Now, one of the things I like is work on my books and writing and being in my head on the computer. But on the other hand, what I couldn't just do that. I need to do to meet other people as well. I need to meet real people.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. And I'm an introvert, to tell the truth. Okay. But what I like most of all is to see them change. Okay, so it's about the transformation of them. And sometimes, like most of the time, to tell the truth, it's not about you, it's about them. It's how they will change in the process of learning these languages.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is an amazing moment for me in teaching.
So it's a very a rewarding job, but it's, you know, it's not an easy way to get money or to get high status in life. If you want that, you should become... manager somewhere and have a lot of people below you in the chain. But English teachers are a link in the chain, really. One more thing I think we could talk about is look at your colleagues. Now, you jump into a new classroom, but who's in the other classrooms around you?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's someone you think, oh, it's just an old lady's moaning all the time. But what's she got to say about teaching English?
Mm-hmm.
What help can she give? What advice? Listen to advice from more experienced teachers. You're not going to know everything after the initial teacher training course.
Of course.
Get involved on Twitter, other social networks, professional development, and learn by doing. Mm-hmm. Even creating your own materials. This was the key for me, because if I didn't know something, I would write, okay, I'm going to write 4 worksheets about that with answers, and then trial them in the classroom. And that's how I learned, okay, that works, that doesn't work. And that's how I learned most of the grammar that I learned over the years, by doing. And if I find something now, a topic that I don't really know, because it can happen sometimes, then again I make some materials about it, and you'll find them on my website. So if you find some new materials from me, you know that's something that I didn't really know about until now.
Okay.
Or hadn't thought about in detail.
Yeah, it's a great way to learn, yes, really. No, I mean, the colleagues help a lot, and I believe in peer observation. So if you are in a school and if you have a chance,
oh, yeah,
to go and see other more experienced teachers, it will be the best training you can get, really. So I agree with you completely.
And that will make them feel nervous, but maybe they will also be able to help you. And it's the best way is watch someone do it, and you can either think, okay, I wouldn't do that like that, why not? Or I will try that, why? So, and keep going, keep developing, and try to get on the training courses. If someone comes in the classroom and offers you, do you want this qualification? Yes, I want that qualification.
Yes, for sure.
And I did loads of this sort of training when I was a young teacher, and I just soaked it up. Nowadays, I would still like to do more training mm-hmm. in the future.
I do, so, on a regular basis. Yeah. Every year, I have at least a couple of courses online, or I always read like all the new books, I don't know, grammar reference books, new books on methodology. So this year I have been lucky to go to this IETFL conference, and it was such a huge opportunity, really. I mean, a lot of communication, a lot of ideas. So I'm still motivated, I'm still processing that, and it gave me such a big push. So there are plenty of opportunities, that is true.
And the great thing is about English, you can never know everything,
mm-hmm.
and you can never learn everything about English. The subject is inexhaustible, and you can become an expert, but nobody owns English and nobody knows everything about English. And there's always something new happening. Yeah. It's a fascinating field to work in, so you've chosen well if you're new English teacher.
No, that's true. That's certainly true.
Okay, so I think we'll have to finish the podcast there. But thanks again to Daria.
Thank you very much for listening and having me, Matt.
It's been my pleasure. And please check out as well Daria's podcast, where yours truly is also guest starring on the podcast.
Yeah, but mine is for learners. Yeah, so if you are an English learner, so welcome. It's called Find Your English Voice, and you can find the links on my website, of course. Yes, it's stordar.com.
Stordar.com, stordar.com. If you find my English voice when you're there, then please let me know, and please return it as quickly as possible.
Okay.
So thanks a lot, Daria. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Hope that's useful if you are a new teacher or thinking about becoming one. I certainly recommend it, but it's not the way to become rich and famous in this world. But you can still enjoy your life every day as an English teacher. So thanks for listening, and see you in the next podcast. Bye for now.